gerekiyor. Şu bana burasız. Sus bana burası. Şu burası. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Our Father, we thank you for this great call. We can hear you, Lord. We can feel the desire of your heart towards us. Father, with every fiber of our being, we respond yes to you. We declare that we are interested and we are eager. We will come. We will come by your grace, by your strength. Father, we receive strength to come. Strength to ascend. Because we will fulfill our waiting. We will gather everything that's needed to climb, to ascend. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Father, we receive wings. Wings to ascend. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you open our hearts this morning as we just discuss. We just want to discuss this morning. Just want to talk about these things. Father, this should be our conversation. Father, we just want to have a conversation about reality, about real things, Father. Help us. Be here with us. Holy Spirit, say, no man knoweth the things of God except by the Spirit. No man knoweth the things of God. No man knoweth. No man knoweth except by the Spirit. The revealer, Spirit of the living God. We ask you just come and facilitate this conversation this morning. Facilitate this discussion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Quicken our heart. Bring us into understanding. Give us the light of life. The understanding of life. Interpret reality to us. Bring down every false idea and install truth in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Pushereheto sima kamashete pramunia hepradabastas kalamata lamiha matalida tukote tikimanasia farabata farabota harbo shetonaya. Says that they're not ministering spirit. Which minister for those who will be heirs of salvation. There's one talking to me now. and speaking, and he's saying, he says we are knowers. We come from knowledge. We come from the realm of knowers. That's who we are. We're made to know. And he says, we know him. We know him. We know Elohim. And we have been commissioned to help you know. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to Conference 2016. What's your name again?
Enoho.
Enoho, yeah. Is it Enoho or Eloho?
Enoho.
Okay. Just wait for the other. I think James is in the kitchen, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. How about you? Hi, Lulia. How was your night? It's good. How was the drive here?
I think it's
oh, how come? He picked you up.
Yeah.
Wow. So you couldn't get out. Okay, let's just wait a few seconds. Okay. Lulia, you know this man, right?
Yeah.
Mr. James. Yeah. In the flesh. This is you in the flesh. Ah, thank you. Kitchen, okay. So, things that you said when you were speaking earlier about God wanting to open. Give us. I see the soul is a vast land. Right? The soul of man is like a land, but most of the land is a land that has not been possessed yet. The land is there, and there are inhabitants. the inhabitants of that land, and those inhabitants are occupiers who should not be there, because the land was not made for them. Right? So the work of redemption, and work of redemption in the soul, is to reclaim that land back, our soul. In this world, most of what the prevailing secular ideology, right? People are taught, really, that, you know, you are your own man, you know, you're an individual, and you can do what you want. You can, the whole idea of liberty and all that's propagated, right, in the world. That's one of the central, like in this modern era, right, that's one of the central appeal to people. People want to be free. You see, even in countries, people revolt against any kind of government, you know, if it's government encroachment or any kind of thing that threatens that freedom, there's a huge revolt against it. And it's because there's an idea that I, as an individual, I should be able to determine what I do, what I want to do, who I want to love, you know, who I want to marry, and a host of other things, right? But there's a way God made the soul of man. God didn't make man to just exist. The soul is like a machine that carries out a will, right? But the will of the soul is meant to implement its spiritual will. The soul is like a machine, like a computer that receives information and produces, like a machine that produces an output. But the information that the soul receives, right, is spiritual information, right? So, and God did not make man to live by, just to be sustained by himself. The soul of man is incapable of soul sustenance. If it was, it would be like God. Only God is capable of that. So it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how educated you are, how enlightened you are still executing the will of his spirit. That's the nature of the soul. So, but most people, because they don't like the whole idea of God, why must there be a supreme being somewhere that tells me what to do? Why must I submit to that? But in trying to run away from receiving the will of God and being controlled, right, and being instructed by that will, they fall into the hands of Satan. And Satan won't come and tell you that I want to control you. No, he will tell you, I want to give you freedom. But even that, Satan is an ancient being. Satan knows the soul of man more than man knows himself. In short, Satan actually killed angels. And in terms of nature, angels are, in terms of construction, they are more complex beings. You know, in the order of creation, there's God, and then there's the angelic, and then God now put man as living soul. God put man below angels. That has made him a little lower than angels, right? That is in a little lower is in natural construct. You get? So think about this bottle of water, right? And that's how you understand the soul of man. Think about the soul like this. This bottle of water is made up of two things. There's the container and there's the content. That's what the soul of man is like. So when God made a stature of man, he made angels. Angels have glorious containers. Right? And God made them glorious. They are beautiful. They are wonderful. Look at where the Bible describes how Lucifer was. Right? It's glorious. And God put life in them as well, gave them a dimension of life. But the life he gave them was not his own life. It's their own life. is the angelic life, not the life of God himself. That life that God gave the angels is a created life. God created a life for them and gave them that life. So their container and their outward, you know, their, and the content of them is the product of God's hand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When God came to man, let's say this is the container of an angel, God now created something lower for man. Right? But God's intention, and that's there's something about the way God thinks that is it's contrary to logic. You know, the normal man wants to store something precious. We look for the biggest, the most glorious, the most wonderful container,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But God found one tiny thing that's not even inferior. Look at your flesh, for example. something that can be broken. You can bleed. You can be hungry. In short, you have to eat every single day, 3 times a day. You have to eat 3 times a day, right? Just to keep you going.
Yeah.
That's how weak the vessel is. The Bible says that he put his treasure. He put this treasure in earthen vessels. Know what an earthen vessel is? They are vessels of gold, they are vessels of silver, they are all kinds of vessels, right? Actually, if you think of it, in the angelic, they are vessels, angels who are golden, those in the most holy place, and they are gold those are silver-like. So those are precious creatures in their make, their construct. But God wanted to put his. He was looking for a place to put his treasure. God created something. The Bible says, one translation says, in jars of clay. Right? So instead of looking for silver or gold, he looked for something that you can break, something you can throw on the floor and to scatter. Says he put this treasure in excellent in earthen vessel, but there's a wisdom behind it. He says that what? What does he say? Since we have this treasure in the earthen vessels, that the excellency of what? Of the power might be of God and not of us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God made man a little lower than the angels. But the Bible says that though he made man a little lower, he crowned him with glory and honor. That's God for you. He crowned him with glory and honor. So the soul of man is, Satan knows what that soul is. Satan is, for Satan to have been able to deceive angels and kill them, he must have studied their life. He must have known that these people have, you know, there's something about this life that I can take advantage of. Right? So that seed rose up in him. He killed himself. He must have found that weakness in himself. Right? But for Satan to know that much about angels, that tells you he also knows about man.
Yes.
Right? So he killed angels. So and then when he was cast down, he came here to our world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And what he came, he knows the most precious thing on the earth is the soul of man. And that's what he came to occupy. The most precious thing is man's soul. And he knows the makeup of man, that man cannot live by himself. It's impossible for man to live. Man lives by bread. You get?
Yes.
So all he has to do is just bring bread to man. That temptation of Jesus was actually a typification of what he has been doing since. Satan did not manufacture a new temptation for Jesus. It's the same thing he has been doing. So that bread that Jesus refused, men have been doing that thing. Men have been turning stone to bread since. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that man shall not, it is written. That written is written concerning man. That written means this is how, this is the order of how man is supposed to live. That writing is the writing of the Creator, the man who made man. And it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. But by what? Every word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how the soul was made. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, this is what I'm saying is, I was going to touch something that Bukumi said, right? The reason I'm saying is so that we are not deceived, right? Every second that you are not receiving that word that you are supposed to live by, you are living by something else. Because you are incapable of self existence. That thing. You are incapable of it. You can't ignore the word of God or the will of God and not be doing the will of Satan. It's impossible. So God's the real contention in our world is the contention for man's will. Who will the will of man obey? Is it the will of God or the will of the devil? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's why you see, when you understand this, you now understand why the issue of salvation is such a complex thing. Why couldn't God just speak a word and then man would just be saved and just, you know, come back to perfection? God had to devise a means to save man that involved him bringing his son to the earth. That working or salvation that saved man and redeemed man was a complex work that took divine wisdom to craft. Because you're moving into issues of legality when you begin to deal with man's soul. Because that soul is occupied. It's a land and the soul of man cannot be occupied without the yielding of the will of that man. Even Satan himself, he didn't come with all these seraphims with mighty power to fight man and take control over man's soul. He entered into a serpent. He didn't come and just enter into man. He can't. He can't. When he came, he entered into a serpent. And what is that serpent? The serpent was the Bible says it was the most cunning of all the beasts of the earth. So he had to enter into a serpent and through the serpent go and speak to man. What was he trying to do? He had to play around that will to get man to willfully. Yield his heart to him. So also when he came to Adam, it was just a simple conversation that he had with him. He didn't come with power. Say, okay, I'm that angel that fell, that covering cherub. And he said, I'm that covering cherub. He said, do you know who I am? I have cut heaven into three. He didn't come. No, he just came. He just came into the garden and just came into as a serpent and just started talking with Eve. Conversation. Told Eve, see that tree there? See those trees? Look at them. Look at the fruits of that tree. What was that conversation for? That seduction. Seduction. They will. So if Satan had to do all those things just to get man to fall. The same way Jesus cannot just come. You can't just say, okay, we're going to pray a 2 months straight prayer chain. And by the time we finish that prayer chain, all of humanity would have given their life to Christ and fallen in love with God. After praying, you will pray and pray and pray. God will send all the angels. God can send 1 million angels here. And they will be talking at the peak of their voice, salvation. Just one tiny man can sit down here and hear everything they are saying and say, no, I'm not interested. In short, I need to watch a movie right now. What angels have been speaking. I tell you that what that will is.
Yes.
It's not a small thing. That's why you open church as a pastor and you land where everybody they are sinners. And this is all they need in life is just to get born again. And all their problems will be solved. You see the poor pastor will be preaching and shouting in top of his voice. Everything. There's even miracles they won't show for it. But people won't come. There's something that's keeping the soul. And at the point of what I'm saying is this. It's that we are pursuing salvation. Right? And by God's grace, we are pursuing the salvation of mankind. But we have to understand something. That man cannot be saved by brute force. Let's just pray them into salvation. There's a wisdom. You need to employ the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. God knows the way around the soul. Right? But God will not come down like that and do it. The reason is because the heavens of the earth. Amen? So do we all understand? I want to see if we can carry everybody along as much as possible. Right? So when I say the heavens of the earth, what do I mean? Okay.
Before you move into the heavens.
Okay.
So the heavens of the earth is pretty much let's say where the dominion or the control of the earth really is.
Okay. That's the same thing as high places. Okay.
Yes.
So just to understand, the Bible says that we against principalities and powers, right? But you know, we're not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? In high places, praise the Lord. So those high places are their spiritual position. Okay, so it means there's high heights means heaven. So they are high places. But if they are in high places and we're wrestling against them, they are not in God's heaven. There's no way they can be in God's heaven because they were cast down. That is that there's another high place in our earth that principalities and powers occupy that is not the heavens of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And it's actually in Genesis, if you look at it in Genesis, it's actually there. The heavens is in chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Right? The heavens and the earth. Then later, God now did something. Where he separated waters above and waters below and then created the firmament between them. And then the ones above he called heaven. That's another heaven. That's the heaven of the earth. Praise the Lord. So that place, that's where that heaven of the earth, that is actually the place of authority. The real rulers of this world, they are not the governments on the earth. Those governments are just structures The same, the governments are made up of people. There's people that have soul like you and I, and souls that don't have capacity of self-will as well. So when anyone comes and says, but that's the organization, that's the government that's in control of everything, no, it's not possible as long as they are men, unless they are other kind of creatures there. As long as they are men there, there are people who must be given a will to execute. So every organization upon the face of the earth is executing the will of his spirit. Mm-hmm. What spirit, which spirit are they? Mm-hmm. Which spirit's will are they executing? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the real government of the earth, right, are up there. The spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's why you won't see Satan walking around you, around here. Now think about it. Why didn't Satan just come out, come down physically? And you can, this is Satan. You get? The reason is because if he comes down to where you and I are, he won't have any power. Because he would have come out of the realm of the invisible. And he would have come down here. Right? And that tells you that the realm that custodes or keeps the authority, the power, the rule over the earth is the realm of the invisible. Praise the Lord. Well, why do we keep, there's an ideology that we have when you see Christians saying, okay, we want to take over this earth for God, we want to bring about the kingdom, and then the answer to that is by going to become the president. But even the presidents, sure, I'm sure even if you ask most presidents, they will tell you, man, that this war just is just on the course. They don't understand. They're just trying to manage it. Most people who are in real power, when you tell them, you know, power can look enticing from afar. Mm. When you are there, you discover that there are things in this world that govern how things operate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are bigger than men. So, if you're really thinking of bringing the kingdom of God to the earth, then the solution obviously should not be to go into some kind of leadership position or anything. You can't do anything from there. You have to go where Satan has taken. Because that's where he guards from. The Bible calls him the God of this world. And because he's the God, that God of this world is so powerful because he has taken that position. He's so powerful that he can even create resistance in man against even the power of the gospel of God, of Christ. Bible says, if our gospel be veiled, it's veiled to them who are perishing. Say, whom what the God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine in them. Why could he do that? Because he is the God of this world. There's a position, that word God means someone who has rule
yes.
over. He wasn't made the God of this world. If anyone was made a God of this world, it was man. Initially. Because when God created man, he said, have dominion. Rule over the all the creatures of the earth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Satan came and took that place from man. So that place where he is God from, if man is to reclaim dominion in any way, man has to take that place back. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that place called the heavens of the earth is actually a place that God created for the living soul which he made on the earth to have dominion from. That makes you now begin to understand what kind of man Adam was. Praise the Lord. Because when God put Adam in Eden, Bible calls Eden the garden of the Lord. Praise God. And in that garden, God himself used to meet with Adam. Right? And so God, that was the place that God could descend in and they will have fellowship together. And then God can go back to where he came from, right? Now, Adam, if Adam had dominion over the world, this earth, right? For you to have dominion, it means he must have occupied that vantage position in his soul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why Adam was a terrible man. He was. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Adam was a spirit. His spiritual, his soul was living. That word living. What does that word living mean? A dead soul can only relate with things of the dead. So when you see a soul that's dead, all you can conceptualize is just food, trees, mountains, rivers, you know, physical elements. They can drill into the earth and find oil and then analyze it and then do research on things that they can feel and things they can touch. You can take a butterfly, take microscope, study the butterfly, tell you everything about it, right? And they're so, the people they call the powerful men of the world are people who have exercised their mind and they've broken into things. They've broken into, you know, they will teach you, this is how, this is the anatomy of, you know, this microscopic creature, right? But out of all those things, they can't tell you. They can't tell you anything they did spiritually. They can only tell you about things they observed.
Yeah.
That's a dead man. That's a dead soul. But Adam was a living soul. That word life. That word life. Life. You cannot be living. That life wasn't natural life. Praise the Lord. Because there's natural life. A dog, a goat, has natural life. The same way a human being has natural life. Mm-hmm. So when the Bible talks of a living soul, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the life that the body has.
Yes.
It doesn't mean like, oh, you're alive physically. And that's not what he was talking about. That living soul means that the soul of Adam was alive.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that living soul means that Adam's soul was spiritually alive. It was a spirit. So if a spirit can occupy spiritual realms, praise the Lord. So in Adam's soul, Adam was aware of spiritual activities on the earth. If a spirit that shouldn't be on the earth enters here, Adam will know. Because in his soul, right, he could see it. That was why he was able to name all the animals. He had that wisdom. Everything, because he had been given dominion over all of them. And that dominion has to do with sight. Can a king rule in a place that he doesn't have vision, that he can't have oversight in? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Adam must have been in a place where he could have oversight over the earth. He could see all things. How did he see all the creatures? You think they all walked up to him physically and said, Adam, name me. Then they formed a line physically. No. Adam could see them. He knew what was in the earth. The earth was given to him. He was the God of this world when he was made. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But because we have our fallen nature has made us such that we can't even, it's hard to conceptualize such things. That a person can have information that is not come from his, either his eye, his smell, his touching. What are the five senses? Those five senses are not all the senses of man, those are the senses of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I believe a chicken has five senses, right? Other animals have five senses. A dog has five senses, right?
Yeah.
But the senses, man was a living soul. So his soul was alive. His soul has his own senses.
Yes.
Has the ability to sense other things.
Yes.
And what a living soul senses are not what the hands can touch. Or the eyes can see.
Yeah.
A living soul is a spiritual soul and it can sense things in the spirit.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's how Adam was able to take dominion over the earth. So when Satan came, praise the Lord, Satan had to take that place from him. Now, do you know that Satan was on the earth before Adam? Do you believe it? The Bible doesn't give us what time, right? But he was here. All those wicked spirits were here. But they couldn't do anything. Because they didn't have access to the dominion of the earth. But when Adam came, and God gave Adam legal right for dominion, he placed him in that place. They now found an entry point. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, what is the work of salvation? The work of salvation pretty much is just to recover back, first of all, what man lost. Bring him to that estate. And then the journey hasn't finished. There's something that Adam was made to do or to receive or come into, which he never did. Praise the Lord. And we all know that there's something in that tree of life that Adam was supposed to partake from that he never got to partake of. And the Bible reveals to us the nature of that tree and what it's able to do. The Bible says that tree of life in chapter 3 of Genesis, it said, they put a cherubim to cover the tree of life, lest man go back and take of the tree and then live forever. So it means that tree has the powers of immortality. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So salvation is not just even becoming how Adam was. It's to finish the job that Adam was made to do. That's why the Bible says in the book of Revelation, say, he that overcomes. So there's first overcoming. But the end is not overcoming. Say, he that overcomes, then I will give to eat of the tree. Praise the Lord. So we are, you know, Satan, the way Satan can preoccupy you, and all you're thinking about is him. Right? When God made man, God didn't even make him for Satan. God made man for a destiny that didn't involve Satan. Praise the Lord. Although God must have known somewhere that Satan would do what he did. And God is wise. And I actually believe there's a reason why God put man in a jar of clay, in a vessel that can be tempted. I actually believe that God used man, and a man of God said it, and I believe it, that man might have actually been a bait for Satan.
Let's handle it.
Right? Praise the Lord. And that was how Jesus destroyed him. Because he entered man through the wisdom in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Praise the Lord. So, the first journey of salvation is the journey of overcoming. Then the next journey is the journey of partaking or the journey of immortality. The reason why man has to have that immortal nature of God is because God has made man for a habitation, for himself. God has made man for an eternal dwelling for himself. So for man to, how can you inhabit a God that is immortal if you don't have the same properties of his life? It means that you expire before him.
Yes.
Then you won't have a house again.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God has to, the Bible says that Jesus Christ said, I came that ye may have life. And have it what? More abundantly. That word, more abundance. That, I believe that word is not even the full translation. They just had to, because it was Greek. They had to find an English expression I think that has to do with continuous abundance.
Yes.
And an unending abundance of life. That's why Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. I mean, I can raise you up, but not just raise you up,
yeah.
I can keep you alive.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's what he showed when Lazarus died. When they were crying and everything, he said, you know, when was it Mary or Martha that went to him and said, oh, you know, if you were here, you wouldn't have died. Jesus Christ said, do you know who I am? He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And she said, no, I know now, I know. I know you raised him up on the last day. Right?
Yeah.
You know, some of us know scripture too much. Right? But Jesus said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. Jesus said, I'm not just going to raise him up. He said, he that believeth in me, if he's dead, he shall live. But if he lives, shall never die. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the second one.
Mm.
That work of overcoming, praise the Lord, is a work against death, is to live. It's that overcoming is still God calling us from the grave. When we got born again, our spirit is ascending, the spirit work is done. But in the soul is still in the grave. The soul has to be raised from the grave. How do you know the soul is in the grave? When someone that's born again is still committing all these little sins. Right? Those sins, your spirit can't commit such sins. Spirit, whereas he that is joined with Christ is one spirit with him. You can't sin. It means that the soul is still in that dungeon where it was. That work of salvation now is to make the soul arise and then be raised above death and corruption. That is overcoming. That's what Jesus Christ said. If he is dead, he will live. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The resurrection of the soul is not just a one act. It's a continuous process that will end in overcoming Satan himself. Because it's a life that overcomes death. Praise the Lord. So when we are raised from the grave, right, we're raised above sin and death. Then you have been resurrected. And after you've been resurrected, it says those who live then shall never die. That's the next process. And that's the process of partaking of the tree of life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And why am I saying all these things? I'm saying all these things because when we think of the kingdom of God, sometimes there's a way for us to conceptualize it as something that will happen apart from us. You know, when Jesus Christ said, pray, let kingdom come. So we can think about it outside ourselves, that or maybe the world coming to a place where the God's kingdom is ruling, right? Over, and we think about it in the natural sense of dominion. Just rule, exercising, you know, power and will, and that is true. But to arrive at that point, there has to be a personal understanding of how it will come about. And that's what Bukumi was saying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That for the kingdom of God to be on the earth, that word kingdom is talking about the dominion of a king. The dominion of a king. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God has his dominion, right? Which is in heaven. They sometimes refer to it as the kingdom of heaven. The reason is because in heaven, that's a kingdom that rules. But you can't call God's kingdom the kingdom of the earth, because it's not his kingdom here that's ruling, really. Because the spirit that occupy that realm of dominion on the earth are not, they are spiritual wickednesses in high places. They are wicked spirits. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, God's dominion needs to come to the earth. Right? But the only way that can happen is that man has to enter into that place of dominion. Praise the Lord. But man won't just take that dominion by force. Man has to receive the laws. Praise the Lord, of that kingdom in order to take it back. Yes.
And what are the words of the kingdom?
Yes. That's what we'll talk about now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, and you know every kingdom has laws, right? When a king, when someone is a king over a place, right? A king, that word king is a title, but that's not all a king is. If someone has made a king. If a king is just a title, then it's not really kingship, right? The king has to, the essence of being a king is that you come into a place where you have the power to exercise your will over the region, whatever, right? So, before the concept of having dominion comes, there's something that comes before. Is that thing of an intention. So a king that wants to exercise dominion already has an intention in his heart. Praise the Lord. Before he comes into position to carry out that intention. Praise the Lord. So, and that's the same thing with man. We must not start the kingdom conversation with just receiving dominion. We have to go back first. And say, okay, if for some reason they just took man and put him in a place where he can rule the whole earth, what does man have in himself that he wants to do? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, before man can begin to move into the dominion of God, God actually has to put his way, his laws, his commandment inside man's heart. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that is why God made a covenant with man. Right? And that covenant was through Jesus Christ. That he created that covenant. Right? And that covenant is the covenant of the testament or the laws that man will receive his law. So the new birth experience, when you get born again, that or you're actually signing a document. Okay, I am I'm willing for this journey. Right? And that document you are signing is not that, God, I'm ready to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. It's more than that.
Mm.
Praise God. God is not just looking for people that will come there. No. His dominion is ruling in heaven. It's called the kingdom of heaven. There's no problem there. Right? The problem is really here because God has found man. God is in love with man. God didn't just fall in love with man. To really understand it, man is a product of God's love.
Yeah.
It's not that, okay, well, man, I made all these things, but man, I like you more than them. So I'm going to send my son to die for you and make sure I'm... No. God had made everything. He had made the angels long time ago. He made them. He had made the stratas and everything. He made the earth and everything. Then at the end, now he said, let us make man. In our image and our likeness. In the whole of creation, only man was made in God's image and likeness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That product, if you read only that Genesis, you won't fully understand that intention of making man. But when you begin to read the Bible on, and when you begin to read where the places that talk about God's reason for salvation, you will not say, oh, that's why he made us in the first place. If you go to Revelation chapter 22, where it says, now the tabernacle of God is with man.
Mm.
Now, okay, that this is why. Praise the Lord. If you read it in the book of Psalm chapter 88, okay, and that's the first scripture. I think we've just been gisting, so I think we'll soon be done. I'll continue later. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sorry. through Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter. No. Are you tired? No? Praise the Lord. I think I was telling, was yesterday or the other day, that like all these things, right, are these spiritual things, that these are the things that hearts should actually, these are the things that should be exciting and interesting, especially to young people. You get? This should be more exciting than knowing about the latest technology, and you know, learning about the what are the okay, you know, some people, what are the, you know, the most prevailing modern ideas now, you know? And some people are called thought leaders in the world, right? And people subscribe to them. Okay, you know, they subscribe to this way of thinking and all that, and you know. But what young people should really be excited about are things like this. Because this is real knowledge. The knowledge about the present, knowledge about the past, and the knowledge about the future. What's going to become of this world? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every Christian should be a principality in knowledge.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every Christian should know where things are headed, where this world is going. Bible says that, you know, we shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wave of doctrine. Praise the Lord. And there is a desire in man's heart to know things. Not just a natural thing God puts there. But it's just the object of our pursuit sometimes is misguided. And so, and for me, I honestly feel that anything that will pass away with this world is not worth a young person's investment that much. In time. I mean, invest in your school to do the best you can. Invest in building a career as God leads you. But all your hope, that should not be the summary of all you are in life. Why? Because all those things will pass away. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These things should be your possession. This is what, when you say, oh, what are you about? This is what you should be about. You should have the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. We should know God and know His will for us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, Isaiah 66, it says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. Praise the Lord. So He didn't say the heaven is my house. Right? He didn't say the heaven is my house. He didn't say the heaven is my habitation. He said the heaven is my throne. Praise God. And the earth is my footstool. Okay? Where is the house that you build unto me? So that tells you, even though He has a heaven and there's the earth as His footstool, He still has a house that He's desiring to live in. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And where is the place of my rest? So heaven is not His rest. Verse 2 says, for all these things hath my hand made. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And all those things have been, saith the Lord. They've been a long time ago. He says, but to this man will I look, even unto him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That word, look unto this man. So he says, I have the heaven, I have the earth, I have all these things. Right? They are not a big deal to me. See, but that word look means that to this man will I look. I mean, I'm looking forward to something. To this man will I look. Him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembles at my word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
man is actually supposed to be God's habitation, God's dwelling place. Amen. God has made man so that he can have eternal communion and eternal fellowship with man. Amen. And now, the reason for man being a habitation is so that God can find expression of the life that is in himself. Amen? And the way you understand it is, you understand it the same way the Genesis is the book of beginning. If you want to know how did everything begin, why, how did God begin, and, you know, and how did God start, you know, the earth and creation and all that, go to Genesis. But if you want to now know the end of the matter, the end of everything, and usually it's the end that gives you the reason, initial reason, for everything in the beginning, go to the book of Revelation. Right? And in that book of Revelation, check, okay, what did man finally now become?
That's the whole point.
That's why people miss it. You say, okay, what's the purpose of man? You say, oh, God has made man. Man have dominion. Because the natural mind tells them, go to Genesis. So man's purpose is to have dominion over the fish of the sea and the earth and all that. Right? So you say, okay, now let's find out how to do it. Technology, inventions, how to take over this. So if you go to Genesis alone, Genesis, there's a way, it's deceptive. It might point you to, God gave us this earth. So now let's spend our life making this world a better place because God has put it in our custody. That's not the end of the story. Praise the Lord. The Bible says something, and this is a wisdom. It says, greater is the end of a matter than the beginning thereof. So if you want to really, really check the reason for man, don't go and start speculating in Genesis. Check what did God say that man will eventually become. And you will go to the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And that's where you will see it. And that revelation, it takes, I don't know why, the devil is so wicked. He leads us into a land of speculation, and then we miss it. Whereas these things are made clear.
Mm-hmm.
This, that book, that word revelation, the book of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That's those things that have been secret, that have been unknown. God now took John to the island of Patmos and gave him a revelation of those things. He said that in the book of chapter 1, it says, I, John, was in the land of, you know, called Patmos, right? For the word of the Lord and testimony of Jesus Christ, right? And it says that the voice that spoke unto him told him to write these things, write down, right? He said to show him things that will shortly take place, right? Things that will take place. So it means the revelation of the future, of how everything will end. Praise the Lord. If you want to know the purpose for man, check how man ended here. You see, the heavens and the earth was rolled away in chapter 20. Then in chapter 21, now see, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Right? And the Bible says there that Jerusalem was a city that was adorned as a bride for him. And when you realize in the scripture, and you go through the Bible, you understand that city is actually you and I. You and I, we are that city. Because who is the bride of Christ? It's the church that has come to perfection. So the reason for creation at the beginning is to get to that bride. Adam wasn't a bride material, even though he was a living soul. Do you know why? This is the law of marriage. There's only one thing that can end marriage. Death. That's a law. Death ends marriage. So, if an immortal one wants to get married, Will he marry something that can die? It won't, because what? Death will come and to end that union.
Yes.
So that was why even God created man to be married to him, but God now made a provision to raise him into to a place where they are beyond separation. Praise the Lord. When man has reached that place, that's where Revelation 21 now happened. Mm-hmm. That behold, the tabernacle of God is with man.
Yeah.
Then he now began. Let's just read there, and maybe that should be it for this morning. Revelation chapter 21. From verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city with New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven." So you see, this city came down from God. You see, it came down out of God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Praise the Lord. And because of that, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Do you see that? That's the essence of all the work that God will do. That there will be no more death. Remember, he says, "And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." What is that? Who's that enemy of? Death is man's enemy for sure. But death is really an enemy of God. It's an enemy of God's dream, his intention. As long as death is still somewhere around, God cannot have his rest with man. Because man can still snap, death can still encroach. So God has to deal with death. And the only thing that can deal with death is that tree of life that can make one. Well, praise the Lord. He said, "Neither sorrow nor cry, neither shall there be any more pain, for these former things have passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Praise the Lord. So all I just want to summarize what I want to say this morning is just to make us, in this subject of the kingdom, to make us turn our gain more inward than around or outward. The outward will happen where all things, the Bible says, "Behold, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ." That will happen. But the work won't start outwardly like that. We have to look inward. There's a stature that needs to be raised into the man or the people that God will use to bring forth that dominion on the earth. But that will not start from talking about the dominion itself here. Talk about the life that dominion will express. So it's really about the God life. We're receiving that life. It's that life that will produce dominion. And this is a characteristic of God's dominion that's different from the dominion on the earth, is that dominion on the earth comes outwardly. Take note.
Yeah.
When a kingdom is ruling, what the kingdom wants to do is make you do things that you might not want to do, but it's his will. So he will put laws. You have to obey those laws, and they are enforcers of those laws. That's an outward dominion. But there's a different kind of dominion. The dominion of God doesn't come like that. Let me go and make man to do something. God doesn't work that way. Every person who occupies a place in God's dominion is a willful participant of it. So God won't just come and say, "Let's make man do this." No. That's why Jesus Christ said, "Pray. Pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." You have to pray it. That will be done on earth. How will it come about? Give us this day our daily bread. Is that bread on the inside? That bread is the word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread that cometh down from heaven, that you may eat and not die. When you partake of that bread, of that life, you will inherit the properties of God, which is in Christ, which Jesus Christ had. So Jesus Christ had that bread, he had that dominion, and he became the King of Kings. That's how the Bible says that God has so exalted him and given him a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. But Jesus Christ was not exalted and given a name until he had what? Fully come into the stature of life of the Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So let's open our hearts. And over the next couple of days, I sense in my spirit, and from what we've been praying, God will move us from just talking about the kingdom as a concept, praise the Lord,
Hallelujah.
To now zeroing in on the nature, how to receive the nature of God that will eventually be bring forth the expression of that kingdom. Praise the Lord. I hear the Lord say, I'm able to make it to happen.
Amen.
That in forgotten lands of our souls, where the will of God has been foreign, in those same places which have been dry and devoid of God's word, in those same places I will cause to be a great entrance of life. So I'm taking back the land of your soul. I will reclaim that which was lost. I will bring about the redemption of the purchased possession. You will receive the stature of life, and you will receive the wisdom to gain access into the divine life. The things which haven't been known in previous generations, just because the time had not come, but because the time is here, I will give you the secrets to my life. You, before you come to my dominion and enter my kingdom, you must have first partaken of my life and received the secrets and the laws of my life. This is a time where there will be an unveiling of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law will be unveiled to you. You will know the laws of my kingdom. You will know the laws of that everyone who has a habitation in me was made to be conformed to. As Jesus Christ said, I'm going to my Father, but I'm not just going there to stay. He said, I'm going there because there are many mansions there. That word mansion means places of habitation, places of occupation. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. They said, I go there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, the place where I have ascended into, that same place where I'm even living from, that where I am, that there ye may be also. That will come to pass. So that will come to pass.
Amen.
Believe it will come to pass.
Amen.
And it will come to pass.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's just thank God tonight.